Item number two, open public input. Sorry if I'm coughing. We have a couple, and I think you all know the rules. 3 minutes, buzzer. Sean knows the rules. So I'll call you up two at a time. There's not many, but Sean and Kyle Wanton, please.
Thank you, Chair Smith, Commissioners. I wasn't originally going to talk about process, but fascinating conversation you all just had. One or two quick thoughts to add to what you said that was implicit. Beyond you all trying to make a decision on, you know, very limited time frame, from a public perspective, again, the issues that you were talking about wasn't one that I or my organization was involved in, so I won't speak to any of that substance. But when there is a substantial change between what was presented at a meeting where public input was taken and then when you're voting on something different, substantially different, that causes concerns. And I can tell you, if you were talking about orca or grizzly bears or wolves, I would be up here saying, wait a minute, that's not what the proposal we got to comment on if you've got something very different. So as you're factoring in those things, I would hope that you'd think about how the public can have input when particularly the proposal was changed substantially, either from staff recommendations or committee work. And recognizing your quorum issues and public involvement, I think there is an interest in the public to figure out how to track and understand what is discussed in the sessions that aren't open to the public from the committee meetings. And I get why, yeah, you structure it the way you do, just keeping in mind the public's keen interest in knowing how, you know, not just what the final decision is, but how you get to it.
Yeah, Sean, just, and this won't eat into your 3 minutes, but I follow up. I respect your participation in a lot of meetings. So if you have some specifics, some ideas, if you could shoot them to me, I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
So we could incorporate that, because you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly for a number of years. So
happy to give it a little thought and try to provide some. And it's all beautiful. It's all beautiful. It's huge. It's
your nose is growing now. Yeah. Okay.
What I did want to talk during this segment very briefly is orca, and just give some commendation to the great work that the department staff has done. And in a particular area where most people tend not to think very much about orca when you talk about Columbia River salmon, but that just this week was the deadline for comments on what is known as the Columbia River System Operation Environmental Impact Statement scoping process. Big mouthful, but you know how the federal government operates all the hydro system and the barging and the irrigation and all of that. Gone through this for 20 years. Judges keep rejecting their plans. So they're doing a new one with an EIS. And State of Washington comments that were submitted this week, coordinated largely through WDFW. And I just give a real shout out to the staff at WDFW for pulling together the governor's office and ecology and ag. I wanted to note in particular one piece where it says, you know, among the key environmental and biological impacts that the Fed should study is the impact on all fish and wildlife in the Columbia Basin, as well as species that depend on Columbia Basin salmon and steelhead in the marine environment, including southern resident orca killer whales. And that is a keen interest to our organization. And orca face a lot of threats, a lot of issues, but food supply or prey base is a huge issue for orca. And so looking at how the Columbia River Basin system is operated and how that impacts their food supply. And so there's a very detailed letter that, again, WDFW staff took the lead on in preparing with the governor's office and other agencies. And I just wanted to give a positive shout out, because we come up here and tell you when they're not doing what we like. And in this instance, they've done some great work in helping coordinate and identify an issue that previously hasn't been part of the mix of thinking about, okay, how is orca's food supply impacted by what the feds are doing and how they operate those dams? So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for your kind words as well to the staff, and I'm sure that will be appreciated. Bruce Barnes, please, and Kyle.
For the record, my name's Kyle Winton. I'm president of Eyes in the Woods. Chairman, Commissioners, thank you for all your volunteer efforts as well. The last time I spoke to this commission, it was about 8 years ago, and I stood side by side with Chief York and gave a presentation of 10 years of volunteer effort from the organization. Today, unfortunately, I'm here to voice some issues, and I prepared a handout for everybody, and you can. I'm going to pretty much read it verbatim because I've got to get rolling. This is my fifth director I've volunteered under, other than Director Smith, which is my first director I volunteered under. I've had a real open and candid relationship and with all the other directors. I've been empowered to sit on interview panels and advisory groups, and it's all really been a positive experience, even when we were at odds. I have serious concerns today and have voiced them actually since the 2014 Washington State Employee Survey that rated the Department of Fish and Wildlife morale just above the Department of Corrections. I'm engaged with staff throughout the state and officers, and I've never seen the morale this low. It's bad. I reached out to Director Unworth initially and offered my vast history and understanding of staff and volunteer issues. I haven't had any communication with him since. I've sent emails to Director Unsworth, and I've never even got a reply. I don't know whether they get lost in the shuffle, but I've sent them. I'm in contact with people all over the state that work for this agency and have several good friends. And the same thing is prevalent, that there's not the right continuity. And it's been going downhill for 6 years, and it's at the low. Continually, let's see, I'm just going to go bounce down a little bit on my statement. The agency is disconnected with the traditional users greatly. The lack of action on fee access from this agency has been bad. It's been coming since 2001. We started warning the directors, Keenings, that this is going to be a problem, and it's going to get worse and worse. Right now, hunters are being priced out of a place to hunt, and it's just getting bad. Volunteer-wise, I'm losing key volunteers at a rapid rate. I mean, just a few years ago, I could put 100 volunteers on the ground for a cleanup or a deer capture with a week's notice. Now I'm lucky to get 20 with a month's notice, even with the Master Hunter program engaged. I've just watched more and more of the people that I've depended upon, my board and key managers within the organization, decide that they do not want to help anymore. My time's up, and I have to go because I've got to go meet a bunch of volunteers up at Lake Quinault for our Matheny Habitat Project. But
first off, thank you for your volunteer to the state. We appreciate that and your leadership.
Thank you. I've known you for a long time. The Eyes in the Woods program is just fabulous. I went through the training myself. Boy, that volunteer effort, that's important. But I think you bring up something that's concerned me, too, and that is the breakdown of the North American model for how we support conservation. With the loss of hunters and fishers, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
So, thank you.
Comments? Thank you. And Bruce, you're the last for this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak at your commission meeting. My name is Bruce Barnes. I live in Vancouver, Washington. And I'm coming here with three concerns. I came here last year with one of them, which was making youth hunters 18 years old and possibly raising the age if they're in college to 24, which engages more people and makes it cost effective for their folks to help them get outdoors and, you know, enjoy this valuable resource that we have in our area, which is the outdoors and hunting resource. That's the first thing I wanted to bring up. The second thing is undividing the state for elk hunting, which would give our hunters more opportunity, because we are, as this gentleman just stated, we're being locked out, priced out of hunting opportunities, right? So we need to look at that as a value to the state, which more people would draw for those tags on the east side. It would give people more opportunity and not penalize them if they tried to get an east side tag and they're from the west side or the east side and they weren't penalized to have to go over and hunt on that side if they didn't draw that tag. Other states do it. We need to look at that model. Thirdly, I want to talk about the Senate hearing that I attended this week, which I was very concerned that our Fish and Wildlife sent a representative there that seemed to be extremely unprepared. I'd like to know why Sondra Yonkers wasn't there, who is the chair of the Hoofrot Committee. I'd like to know why we haven't had a Hoofrot meeting in over a year and a half, and our elk are dying at an alarming rate still with this hoofrot. Now, I've brought a study here of what they've done with cattle with laminitis. There's also a study that was just done by Penn State University, and I don't know if you know it, but Kansas is experienced hoofrot in their white-tailed deer herd. And I talked to Sean Hastings, who is the lead on that. And they're actually being proactive, unlike our state has been, and this game commission, and really the Fish and Wildlife's been. And what I stated at that commission meeting, or the Senate hearing, was this is a four-part problem. You've got the Fish and Wildlife that hasn't done a thing, okay? You've got the Forest Practice Board, who just is concerned with growing timber and locking hunters out, which is exploding the wildlife because people aren't hunting anymore, as you well know, okay? Thirdly, we've got a Department of Natural Resources that's allowing unlimited amount of chemicals to be dumped on our habitat for this wildlife and going into our drinking water. And fourthly, we've got a lame Senate and House here in the state of Washington that fails to do anything because it's a political agenda to fight with each other and get nothing accomplished. So we've got to figure out what's going to be best for our wildlife and best for the people that are the stockholders in your state, right? Which is myself, my family, and everybody else I know that goes out and hunts and fishes that pays for all this licensing and the fees and keeps all these people here at this office and the lights on employed. We're not doing that. And I brought this study so you could see how a real study is done. It's not killing animals. It's doing live studies. And if I may continue, I'd appreciate it.
A little bit, yeah.
So when you read through this study, they sterilized all these pens that they had these animals in, and they injected this virus in them, right? So when I read Dr. Mansfield's study, and I know that they've killed basically 76 elk and found four animals that had, you know, treponema in them, it's very alarming to me to be calling this treponema. And I'll tell you what's very more alarming to me. Going around before the Senate hearing, I talked to a 39th district person named John Coster. And John Coster's from the Skagit County where this whole bill is stemmed from, right, with the cattle ranchers. He was a cattle rancher that had his cattle start dying. You know what they were dying of? Leptospirosis. Every one of them was infected with it, okay? Which is a similar thing that makes the animal die and have hoof rot and everything else like these animals. But I believe it's more of a habitat problem, and we need to work on that. This state needs to work on that, and that's why I'm here. And we got to have something that informs the public of what's going on. I've been through three directors now on this issue, numerous people that were put in place to take care of this issue, and I honestly think that Mark Smith and I are the only ones that are taking care of this issue, bringing this to people's attention. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite all of you, and we're going to invite the Fish and Wildlife and all the state senators and legislators. We're going to have an elk summit, and we're going to get to the bottom of this with hunters, and we're either going to boycott the state or we're going to leverage a lawsuit against the state because the state has not done their part in this job, which is take care of our state's fish and wildlife. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me ask one question.
Yes, sir.
First point, raising the youth to 18 to 24, do you know, and I've never really thought about this in other states, is 18 the benchmark in all states?
I can hunt cheaper in Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and Utah with my son than I can hunt in my own state.
Yeah, the question was, but what constitutes a youth? Is it more than 18?
Youth is this.
No, I was not my personal opinion or yours. I'm just, in other states, is it common to go to 24?
Well,
or 22
do it because
or something.
Kids are in college, right, in some of these other states. But what they're looking at is you can't vote until you're 18. You can't go to the military. You can't own a firearm. So what constitutes being an adult versus youth, right? That's what they're looking at. These people aren't adults. They're youth. They're
I know
kids.
A lot of people that are my age that are not adults. So, that's not a benchmark. It was a simple question. That it probably is one for WAFA or something, because I've never really thought about what is the national average for youth, because I think we all want to get more people out there, and if this is a mechanism, then it's something we should look at.
I've been doing that myself by buying two kids for the last 5 years that are underprivileged a hunting license so they can go hunting, and I take them out with me to get them engaged in the outdoors. Now, that's a huge cost to me to buy that bear, deer, elk, and cougar tag, right? That's huge money, right? So I'm doing that because it's important to me to pass on what kept me out of trouble my whole life, right? But again, we're being locked out. And the other thing about that Senate hearing was we cannot approve that because of the fact we don't have enough law enforcement if they're going to go start killing all these elk. Like I told them at that hearing, I'll be the first one to start killing them. And I'll never have to go to the grocery store again because you're going to have everybody out killing elk saying that those elk have got hoof rot when they really don't. So it's going to cause a huge problem for the fish and wildlife, and it's going to decimate our resource. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
And I'll turn this in to you.
Yeah, just hand it off to Tammy.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings to a close item number